The largest radio receiver on Earth is in New Mexico. It's a series of huge satellite discs on over 72 kilometres of railway lines, and all the dishes together form a single telescope the size of Washington DC. And it's called the VLA, or Very Large Array. And the reason that it's so big is that radio signals that travel a long way are very faint by the time they get to Earth. So that gives us some idea of the lengths that mankind will go to receive a message from space. The sad thing is, though, that many trying to hear a message from space have absolutely no time for the message about Jesus Christ, that the God who created the universe has given us in his word. And about this word, God says, you do well to pay attention to it. But God hasn't just spoken clearly and powerfully to mankind. He also has what we could, and I say this respectfully, call a VLE, a very large ear, that loves to hear prayer. And Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? So we have every reason to be a praying people. But as we noted last time in January, while we know that prayer is necessary and important, the sad truth is, for many of us, that a regular prayer life is hard to maintain. So back in January, we began looking at Ephesians 6:18 under the theme of thankful believers are called to the discipline of prayer. And just let me outline briefly a number of points that we looked at. We saw that prayer is the response of a thankful believer to the many mercies that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. We noted that it's right to speak of prayer as a discipline, because prayer is a habit that we need to develop and to strengthen. But we spent most of the time during that consideration covering the context of verse 18, which is what Barry read around, noting that prayer needs to begin and accompany everything we do as Christians. We also considered that praying at all times, which is a phrase in there, includes what we are called to do in times of formal, that is, hands folded, eyes closed, prayer, and also informal prayer, the spoken or the unspoken word or phrase that we fire up to God in heaven as a response to things or situations where we find ourselves. And what we called a prayerful attitude, having God always in our thoughts regardless of what we are busy doing. And in these ways, we can be praying at all times. So today we continue our consideration of verse 18, and we want to see that thankful believers are called to the discipline of prayer, of constant prayer. And constant prayer, that is, in the Spirit, assorted, unrelenting, and intercessory. And then at the end, we'll look at a few lessons from the school of prayer. So first of all, thankful believers are called to the discipline of constant prayer, that is, in the Spirit. And we see this as we are told that our prayer is to be in the Spirit. When Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to his disciples, he said, "The Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." What that means for you and I is that the work of the Spirit is to teach us what is written in the Bible, to give us a love of what is written in the Bible, to remind us what is written in the Bible, to help us to do what is commanded in the Bible. Romans 8:26-27 says more about praying in the Spirit. There we read, "Likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. One commentator explains these verses as three supernatural things happen here. First, the Holy Spirit creates within us the desire to pray. Second, the Holy Spirit tells us what we ought to pray for. Apart from the Spirit's assistance, our prayers are limited by our own reason and intuition. But with the Holy Spirit's help, they become informed by heaven. As we seek the Holy Spirit's help, he will speak to us through his word, which conveys the mind of Christ regarding every principle. Thus, in Spirit-directed prayer, we will think God's thoughts after him, which Barry alluded to this morning in speaking about wisdom. His desires will become our desires, his motives our motives, his ends our ends. And third, the Holy Spirit supplies the energy that weak human beings need to continue in prayer. So to pray in the Spirit is to understand that we cannot pray apart from the Spirit, to let Scripture shape and fill our prayers, to seek the help of the Spirit when we are struggling to pray, and to know that the Spirit is praying for us. It is helpful practice, then, to regularly ask the Spirit of God to help you pray. So thankful believers then are called to the discipline of constant prayer, that is, in the Spirit. And secondly, they are called also to the discipline of assorted prayers. And we see this as we read that we are to pray with all prayer and supplication. So any children who are here, assorted means a different types, a mixture. Sometimes you can buy lollies that are all the same, like a packet of milkshakes or pineapple lumps, or you can buy assorted lollies, which means they're different lollies, they're different flavours. Our prayers should have different parts, or a mixture of the parts. Many of you will have heard about the useful prayer acronym, that is ACTS. A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication. And I think I detected each one of those in Barry's prayer, not that I was assessing it. But we get that acronym from the form of the Lord's Prayer, from the content of the Psalms, many of which are prayers, and from the content of other prayers in the Bible. Our prayers are to include an assortment of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplications. We've already made the point that sometimes prayer is a single word. It might be hallelujah, which means praise the Lord, or help me, Lord, that we quickly fire off to heaven. So prayer doesn't always have to include all the parts of prayer, but the discipline of varied prayer means that when we have time to pray, our prayers should usually include praise, confession of sin, thanksgiving, and our requests. Knowing this is important because what part of prayer do you think we usually and easily spend most of our time in? Surely it's supplication, it's requests. It comes very naturally to each of us to ask God for all sorts of things. What we often find much harder is to spend time praising him and thanking him and confessing our sins. So in terms of praise, if you want to praise God more, one practical help would be to look at the Psalms that describe the attributes and the works of God, and then pray those things to praise God. For example, Psalm 99, which we began with in song. And it uses words in reference to God. It reigns, enthroned, great, exalted, awesome name, holy, forgiving, avenger, loves justice. So you could pray these things to praise God. Now, in terms of thanks, sometimes it's helpful to make lists. The old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. And for confession, the Westminster Confession of Faith in 15.5 says, "No one should be satisfied with a general repentance. Rather, it is everyone's duty to endeavour to repent of each particular sin particularly." It is okay at times to ask the Lord to forgive all our sins, but it honours God and instructs our souls when we name and list our sins in our prayers. This is because it gives us a greater understanding of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And as we seek to fill out our prayers in ways like these, our prayers will become more assorted naturally. Thankful believers are called to the discipline of constant prayer that is in the Spirit, that is assorted. And thirdly, we are called also to the discipline of unrelenting prayer. Unrelenting prayer means to just keep on going, like the Energizer Bunny, if you remember those commercials. We are to be unrelenting in our prayers as we see that we are to pray with all perseverance, it says. Now, we have many examples of and teaching about unrelenting prayer in the Bible. Let's quickly look at some. We read about Moses and the battle with the Amalekites. As long as Moses had his hands up, Israel prevailed. But as soon as his hands got tired and dropped, Amalek prevailed. So finally they put a stone there for Moses to sit on, and Aaron and Hur stood on each side and held his hands up until Israel defeated the Amalekites. So Moses' intercessory activity, his prayer, as it were, on behalf of the Israelites was unrelenting till the setting of the sun. And you could think of Hannah, who for a long time was unable to have children. But she prayed and prayed, and finally the Lord gave her Samuel. Then there's the parable of the persistent widow that Jesus told. A widow kept going to a judge to plead for justice, and he finally gave her what she sought because he was tired of her many visits. Now Jesus prefaces that parable with the words, "He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray." Earlier I quoted Matthew 7 that says, "Ask and it will be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you." Literally these words are, "Ask repeatedly over and over again and it will be given to you. Keep seeking repeatedly and you will find. Knock continuously over and over again and the door will be opened to you." Our prayers are to be unrelenting prayer. Another example of this, not found in the scriptures, is the prayers of Monica. In AD 354, she gave birth to a son. He was raised in the church, but embraced an immoral lifestyle in his young teenage years. For 20 years, Monica constantly prayed for his conversion and always lived near him. Finally, in his early 30s, he came to faith in Christ in the Italian city of Milan. After his baptism, he left with his mother for home. Near Rome, Monica said to him, "I have no further delight in anything in this life. There was one thing for which I desired to linger a little while in this life, that I should see you a Christian before I died. Why am I still here?" 5 days later, she caught a fever. 9 days later, she died. But Monica saw her unrelenting prayers answered. Her son was Augustine. He became the Bishop of Hippo and one of the most influential theologians of all time. Now, what we have said about unrelenting prayer does not mean that so long as we pray repeatedly, or get enough people to pray the same thing, that we will definitely get what we ask for. There will be times, even though we might not understand how this can be, when it is better that we not be given what we're asking for. The foundation of our prayers ought to be the knowledge that God has promised to cause all things to work together for the good of those who love Romans 8:28. But neither may we minimise the plain truth that our Lord would have us learn, that there is power in unrelenting prayer. God very often delights to answer persistent prayer. So fourthly, thankful believers are called to the discipline of constant prayer, that is, in the Spirit, assorted and unrelenting. We are also called to the discipline of intercessory prayer. Now, intercessory prayer is prayer on behalf of others. We see this in that our prayers are to include supplication for all the saints, it says. So it is appropriate and necessary that we pray for ourselves. But if you study the prayers of Paul and the epistles, you will notice that while he requests prayer for himself, a vast proportion of his recorded prayers are for others. If you look at Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, etc., prayer after prayer for others. John MacArthur says, "The spiritually healthy person is devoted to the welfare of others, especially fellow believers. On the other hand, the root of both psychological and spiritual sickness is a preoccupation with self." So praying for others is an evidence of spiritual health. Notice also that we are to make supplication for all the saints. There will be times when we are at odds with other people in our church family. It may be that we have different views or practices or personalities, or it may be that there's some specific conflict between us. In any human society, we could just ignore each other and move to a different sports club or choir or whatever it is. But this is the Church of Jesus Christ. So the Bible gives us specific ways to deal with sin and conflict between brothers. For example, Matthew 18. There is also the general call in Scripture, such as in Philippians 2 and 3, that we do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. And Romans 14 deals with the situation of Christian brothers and sisters who have different opinions about what foods may be eaten or what days should be observed. And the command given there is that we not despise each other, but instead welcome each other. Now, the word welcome does not mean tolerate, but seek out, invite, and show hospitality to, pray for. The call to welcome your brother is because God has welcomed him. If you understand that you are an imperfect sinner who is saved by grace alone, then you will be gracious to other imperfect sinners for whom Christ died. This is a selfless attitude that makes the church unlike any other human society. So, thankful believers are called to the discipline of constant prayer that is in the Spirit, in that it looks to the Holy Spirit in every way, that is assorted, in that it includes adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, that is unrelenting, in that we are persistent and always looking to the Lord for strength to persevere in prayer, and that is intercessory, in that we pray for all the saints. So let's finish then with five short lessons from the School of Prayer. Now, these have been borrowed and adapted from a few sources, but especially from Don Carson's book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation. So firstly, much prayer is not done simply because we do not plan to pray. Those things that are important to us, we schedule in our diaries. For example, have you ever forgotten to go on holiday? So we need to consciously set aside time for prayer. At the very least, make it your custom to begin and end each meal with prayer. For then there will be at least six times a day when you would pray. Secondly, adopt some practical ways to impede mental drift. Now, I'm sure that every single one of us knows about the problem of mental drift when it comes to prayer. We often find ourselves thinking about 100 other things rather than concentrating on prayer. And that's probably true whether we're listening to somebody else pray and joining them or praying ourselves. Praying out loud is one practical way to stifle this tendency. Some people find it helpful to pace around a room or go on a prayer walk. And prayer lists can also be a useful tool. A prayer journal can help, where you write down what you pray for, and it can also be encouraging as you see those prayers answered. Thirdly, read about prayer or listen to sermons on prayer. You'll find books on prayer in the church library or in the bookshop. Ask others if they've found any books that are helpful, and listen to sermons that are on prayer. Fourthly, develop prayer partner relationships at different periods of your life. If you are a guy, find another guy to pray with, and if you are a girl, find another girl to pray with. But this doesn't mean you always have to be together in prayer, but you can discuss together what you will pray for, and you can talk about praying together to encourage each other. And fifthly, use a prayer list. It's hard to remember all the things that you would like to pray for and that you ought to be praying for. So prayer lists can be helpful tools. There are even apps that you can get that will help manage your prayer lists. You could have a list for family, one for church members, one for missions, one for urgent needs, one for areas of godliness that you are eager to grow in, one for stubborn sins that you would be eager to get rid of, one for evangelistic contacts, one for civil authorities, one for church leaders, and so on. So as we conclude, let me stress again the answer of the Catechism that describes prayer as the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. Ultimately, the thing that will motivate us to pray more is thankfulness for God's mercies to us in Christ. So may it be that our prayers become more constant, more in the Spirit, more assorted, more unrelenting, and more intercessory than they have been. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to apply what we have heard from your word. Teach us by your Holy Spirit. May he, the Spirit, indeed intercede, as your word says, with words far beyond our own. You delight in the prayers of your people. You ask us to pray to you. Your word declares that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. Grant us to have a prayerful attitude, always conscious of you and your presence and your fatherly care in all of life and in all of our activities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.